Welcome to the 33% podcast. Each week we'll be charting the misadventures of starting a new business, as well as exploring some of the challenges that small businesses face when trying to overcome the feeling of being completely overwhelmed by marketing. And today we're talking about marketing strategies, something that a lot of small businesses kind of don't really bother with. I'm James, by the way.
And I'm Gary.
And yeah, we're the founders of 33%, so we thought we'd give you a bit of a rundown of some of our thoughts on, first of all, why it is that you should have a marketing strategy, why a lot of people don't, and what goes into one. Trying to give you a bit of a rundown of some of the things that should be in there, but also, crucially, some of the things that you really don't need to bother with. So, Gary,
yes.
First of all, we talked about a lot about this in the past. Why do you think it is that a lot of small businesses kind of skip the marketing plan or marketing strategy part of the process?
I think it comes down to it normally comes down to four things. Although the fourth one is really just a summation of the others. Really, the ultimate one, the end one, a lot of times happens is that small businesses just think, well, that's what the big brands do. I don't need to do that. Which unfortunately couldn't be further from the truth, and is actually a reason why they should do it. And a lot of these reasons are actually the reasons why they should do it, which is, you know, as a small business, it's a massive advantage. It's one of the weapons they can use to battle against the bigger brands because of the reasons why they don't normally do them in the first place, which is that the biggest one is normally that they just say they don't have the time and it's not a priority. That's the one that's often said to us. From my perspective, it's probably the biggest reason why they should have a marketing plan, and it's the reason really why they fall into this trap and this mistake of saying that they're too busy. And we all know that a small business owner is too busy.
They are totally understandable, isn't it? You got orders to ship, you got stuff that's got to get done, you've got, you know, all manner of different things you're dealing with as a small business owner. So I can completely understand why they don't get to this, you know, get to the marketing plan and this idea that it is like, it's like a sort of this strategic thing that sits over here when they're very, very focused on what they absolutely have to do to get through the day and to keep their customers happy. So you can see why they don't think about doing it. And I certainly didn't when I first started out. I wouldn't say I had a marketing plan in place. It was day to day. I was just getting done what I needed to do to get our message out there and ultimately to service our clients.
Because the reality is, and we've discussed this quite a few times in the past, and even specifically to your own business, which is that not having that plan actually makes you even more time poor. So the reality is, and it's quite a bold statement, but the only reason it would save you time is if you decide that you don't want to do marketing full stop. And if you don't want to do marketing full stop, first of all, I'm not sure why you're listening to this podcast, because it really is a waste of time for you. You are in the wrong place. but also, that then indicates you don't want to find new customers. No, and if you're in that perfect world where essentially you don't ever go looking for new customers, they just arrive at your doorstep, and in actual fact, they've got too many people coming to your doorstep. Probably the only person I can think of that doesn't need marketing full stop is my gardener, who always seems to have far too much work on. Constantly and I don't think ever wants anybody new coming to him. But that aside, I think everybody needs new customers, and by proxy of that, you need to do marketing. And if you're going to do marketing, then actually having a marketing plan and a marketing strategy will save you time, because every time, it's the classic thing we always say about multitasking, every time you go to start a task again from fresh, you waste the first 30 minutes just remembering what you're supposed to do, getting yourself ready, getting yourself in the right mindset. But if you've got a strategy, then all those things are already laid out for you. So they're actually, it becomes an automatic process. And actually, in fact, automation is a big part of the marketing strategy. So a lot of the things you do currently manually, you end up doing automatically, which then immediately saves you time. So ultimately, what a marketing strategy does is actually helps the time-poor business owner.
Yeah, it's an investment ultimately at the end of the day, isn't it? You're investing a bit of time in the short term to gain a lot back in the long run, as you don't have to keep rethinking these things over and over again. You have to keep re-having the same conversations about whether we should be targeting these people, whether we should be having a presence on this social media channel, whether we should be doing this. If you know what your plan is, then you know exactly what to do. You just have to do it. Then really, that's the implementation part of the process. It's the doing rather than the thinking, rather than the strategic kind of planning. Yes.
It's the doing that normally ends up taking most of the time, but people don't do the thinking because the thinking doesn't automatically give you something straight away. But it's a classic example of time poor management, really. And the more upfront thinking you do, the far less time you spend on actually doing stuff.
So what about budgets? That's something that we definitely hear a lot of people talk about. We haven't got a great deal of money to spend, so is there really any point in having a kind of large multi-channel strategy in place?
Well, the reality is the smaller the budget, the more you need a marketing plan, because when you've got a big massive budget, you can get away with a scattergun approach to a certain extent. You can get away with just trying things in isolation, throwing out loads of ideas and seeing what works. The smaller your budget, and I mean all the way down to having no budget at all, because we deal, as you know, James, with brands that are, you know, bit small businesses that have started up by themselves and get out of COVID that have no budget at all, and they are relying purely off an organic process themselves of generating. Those people need a budget. Need a marketing plan more than anybody, because you've got to maximize the time and money that you do spend.
Because your time at the end is your of the day, budget there, isn't it, really?
Exactly. And that is, time is money. It's the classic phrase, and it's very, very true for a small business owner. Because if you're going to dedicate, let's say it, 30 minutes a day to marketing, then you need to make sure those 30 minutes are absolutely adding value to business, because you know what else you could do with those 30 minutes. You've got a list as long as your arm of the different things that you could actually be doing instead of marketing. So if you are going to spend 30 minutes a day on marketing, or hopefully more, then it absolutely has to be maximized. And the best way to maximize that time and any spend you have is to have a clear plan. But the classic example is not knowing who you're marketing to. Because let's say you've got, you know, let's say you had £500 a month you could spend on marketing, and you were going to put it all into ads of some nature, let's say Facebook ads. If you don't know who you're targeting and you just go, well, I haven't got much time, I've got £500, I'm going to put a generic ad up there on Facebook for a month and set £500 as my maximum for the month, you're not going to hit your target market. You're going to waste that £500. But if you spend a bit of time and you understand who your customers are, so then you can put some targeting into those Facebook ads, and both the creative and the target market are more accurate, then you get far more out of that £500. In actual fact, you can probably spend £200 and get more than you could for spending the £500. So in the end, by spending a bit of time, you actually save money.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that people say all the time. We talk to them and you ask, who is your target customer? Who's your ideal customer? And they say, well, it could be anyone. You know, we've got this, you know, a lot of time my product is so good, my service is so fabulous that absolutely anybody could be a customer, which is great. And like, if you can afford to target all of the people, then more power to you. But for the most part, and certainly, you know, for us and for most of the businesses we work with, you can't target everyone, and there you do have ideal customers. You do have people that are better customers than others, and those should be the people that you're focusing on. And that's, you know, that leads us very nicely onto what should be in a marketing strategy. Let's start with, what's the point in actually having one? So we talked about the fact that it's going to save time. So, you know, these reasons not to have one are actually reasons to have one, but it's going to save you time. It's going to save you budget. So what is it, like, in truth? What is a marketing strategy? Is it this big stuffy document that I keep in my drawer that I wrote for a bank manager, or is it something more dynamic? There's sort of a clue in the question there. I don't know if you picked it up.
I feel like if I didn't already know the answer, you're leading me to a certain place. But yes, it isn't a stuffy big document
that
you stick in your drawer. No, James. And if you do have a big stuffy document in the drawer, then it's probably not been well executed. No, don't get me wrong. You know, we've both worked for large businesses. I've helped some pretty big businesses write marketing plans. And the reality is, I would say 50% of what's in their marketing plans are a complete waste of time for everybody outside the marketing manager themselves. And then the other 50% is written for other people. So, for example, a classic example, I think the easiest place to start is what you shouldn't have in it, which is you don't need a big long executive summary as a small business. Who's that big executive summary for? You know, I've seen marketing plans that are, you know, 50 pages long, and the first four pages is an executive summary. That's great, because you're going to be on a board somewhere where all the board's going to read is the executive summary. You don't have a big complicated board as a small business owner, so you don't need all that detail. You don't need a big summary of everything else. What you want, what should be in a marketing plan, is things that you actively use going forward. So nothing that is just a nice to have. They are all important things that you use in your day-to-day running of the business, is the way I would describe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's a, I think that's kind of the strategy kind of conjures perhaps the wrong impression of what we're talking about. When you think of a plan, that's what this is. It really is a plan. It's a thing that you can follow. It's a blueprint for your marketing. It's a thing that you could pick up on a daily basis and go, right, what do we need to be doing? And it should take you on that journey. That's why it's so much more than just a business document that, you know, that you keep in a drawer. It should be something that you're referring to all the time. And if it isn't, then it's probably too long and too, you know, like you said, got too much stuffing in it to make it actually be usable.
Yes, I completely agree. The one thing I would say is that it is important to, it is a plan. I think a plan is a really good way of describing it. But it's also important to remember the word strategy as opposed to the word tactic, because I think that's where a lot of marketing plans go wrong, is they're very, very tactical. So what a marketing strategy shouldn't tell you is you need to build a website. That isn't a strategy, that's a tactic. The strategy is actually telling you what should be on that website, not that you need to build one. And that really is, you know, the focus of a marketing strategy should be all about, you wake up in the morning and you've got to write an article, or you've got to stick a blog post out, or you've got to do a Facebook ad. Whatever it is you've got to do, you should be able to go straight to this marketing plan and immediately go, all right, so I'm writing it for that person, and these are the sort of messages I say. Brilliant, okay, good, I'm off. So within 10 seconds, you immediately know what you've got to do towards that. And if you don't have a marketing strategy, that's when you start rethinking again. Who am I talking to? What is it I'm supposed to be saying? What's our USPs again? What's my tone of voice? All these things that you have to rethink each time. So the whole point of the strategy is that it really just gets you straight in there. So that's really what needs to be in. It needs to be practical. The plan is full of practical elements that make your life easier going forward.
Cool. And that, I think, is the other thing. So we've talked about what's in it. So it's going to save you time and money. That's a guarantee. It's going to deliver results, is the other thing. That should be the focus, yes, of what's going in the plan. It's going to be things that you know are going to shift the needle and going to make an impact on your business, rather than, as you said before, things like the executive summary, things that are there as sort of almost a vanity exercise. And the number of people we speak to that don't have that really nailed down, like you said, what is our USP? What is that? What is the thing that we're selling? And how are we selling it to people? Those are things that people have really got to focus in on at the beginning. So what about the format? What does this document look like? Is there an official sort of official way to do it?
It's whatever you are most comfortable using. It could be a Word, it could be a Word doc, could be a Google sheet, could be a PowerPoint slide. I've seen them done in PowerPoint slides before. It doesn't matter. The whole point is the format is totally unimportant. The only thing that's important about the format is that it's easy accessible, so you can get to the information quickly and easily. I mean, to the extent, and we talk about this a lot in other podcasts and other blogs, but if you can't access this from your phone, then it's a waste of time. Because if you're out on the move and you think, oh, do you know what, I've got a half an hour spare here, I might just bash together a little bit of a tweet or a quick article I'm just going to send out now while I'm just sitting here on a train not being anything to do. Oh God, remind me who it is I'm writing for. Bang, I want to get on my phone, I want to have a look. So it needs to be accessible quickly. Beyond that, the format does not matter, because it is just a series of information that helps you do your marketing quickly.
Yeah, like you said, you've got to be able to get to it. That's the most important thing. So if it's completely inaccessible, or as you say, you can't look at it on your phone, you can't, or it's so long that you can't get to the bit that you need, because we all need to remind ourselves from time to time, who it is we're talking to, the tone of voice that we want to use, those kind of things. It doesn't matter how big the business is or how small the business is. You do every once in a while need to refresh your memory as to, you know, should we talk about this? Is this something that would be interesting to our audience? And the marketing plan is a great place to go to, you know, to really help with that. And it's probably a decent time to mention that we do actually have a downloadable template that you can get from our website. So if you are struggling with kind of what makes a good format and, you know, what should go into it and everything like that, you can head over to our website. We'll put the link in the description and you'll be able to just download one, which is a pretty great place to start. Again, you can adjust it and use only things that are relevant to your business. And that's what we always say, is that don't just, if there's something in there you think, I don't really get why this is important for me, then maybe it isn't important for you and maybe you shouldn't include it at all, in which case you can just take it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a classic example is the competitor analysis, which is in some marketing plans but not in others, because sometimes it's really difficult. Sometimes it could be because you've got, essentially, let's take the example of a plumber. Not that I'm expecting many plumbers to have a marketing strategy, but they probably have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of local competitors. There's really no point doing a competitor analysis on something like that. But then you also might have the person who's selling something completely off the wall that nobody else really does, and you try and compare yourself to somebody that isn't quite you. So again, that's an example of where you might look at it and go, do you know what, that's not really for me, that's not going to add any benefits, that's not going to help me decide how to improve my marketing, so just don't include it. You know, as you say, the important thing is to take these as ideas of things you could include, but then customize them towards yourself. Only do the bits that are relevant to you.
Yeah, kind of ask yourself the question, if I did this and if I know the answer to this question, would I do things differently? And if you wouldn't, like in the examples of the competitor analysis you just talked about, if it wouldn't really affect anything, then yeah, maybe it's not something that you need to worry too much about. So
agreed.
We talked about competitor analysis. That's certainly something that could potentially be included. What else have we got? Well, just run us through some of the key things that should be in a marketing plan or marketing strategy.
Okay, well, let's start at the top and work down. At the start, really, it's about things like visions and objectives. Ultimately, if you want to, it's the classic thing, if you're going on a journey, if you don't know where the end of the journey is, then you're driving aimlessly. So you really do need to just have, and again, this isn't some long corporate mission statement that's going to go up, you know, up all around the walls and everything else, but this is just for you. This, you have to understand where is it I'm trying to go with my business. And then of course that leads into the objectives, which is everything we do in marketing should be geared towards whatever the goal of the business is. And okay, ultimately that goal of the business may just be earn me enough money to be able to go on holiday next year. There you go, that's a goal you can go with. But what that ultimately means is everything we're doing in marketing gearing towards that. So you need quite specific, and they need to be smart goals. I don't, you know, what we don't want is just, oh, have more people know who I am. That's not a smart goal. Set an actual, you know, if you want to go down that road, then set a goal of an extra 10,000 people are aware of me over the next 12 months, or I've achieved 2,000 likes on Facebook by the end of the next quarter. Whatever it is that works for your business, but just make sure they're very, very clear, so that every time you go to do any form of marketing, you immediately go, does it hit one of my objectives? No, it doesn't. I'm not going to waste my time on it. And it really is one of those focusing points. That's the whole reason for having these, is you stay focused on what's important to your business.
Okay, so we've got our vision, mission statement, we've got our objectives, so you know what we're trying to get to. We talked a bit about competitor analysis, but what about the SWOT analysis and why you, that kind of thing?
I mean, ultimately, I don't think there's anything more important when you go to do marketing than understanding why you're better than someone else. Because if you can't explain to someone why they should work with you over someone else, then you may as well not do any marketing. You really are wasting your time. Because the whole point of marketing is to highlight what's good about your business so that you attract customers to you. And that's why you do the SWOT analysis. That's why you try and understand what your strengths and weaknesses are, what are the things to avoid, what are the things to push hard and elaborate on. And I think that, you know, that's key. If nothing else in this whole strategy, I think that's always a good one. I mean, it sounds obvious, you know, everyone should know why their business is great, but the amount of people that just don't remember that, and actually just having it close to hand. So every now and again, you go to, I've got to write something. You kind of remind yourself, okay, these are the four things that we're really good at. So make sure I talk about those within whatever piece of marketing I'm doing.
And it might not be the things you think it is. And that's something that I've noticed as well, is that sometimes the thing you think is the thing that makes you special isn't actually the thing that makes you special. And so we would always encourage people to, you know, if you've got online reviews, go and read the reviews, see what it is people are talking about. If you have customers, if you have clients, then ask them why it is they like working with you, because you might find that that special widget that you've got that you think is the most amazing thing in the world is that isn't actually the reason. There's actually something else that makes you special, that is the reason that people keep coming back, and that should be the thing that you then kind of accentuate and make sure that you focus on, because actually sometimes the thing you're selling isn't as important as the thing that people want to buy. It's not about you, it's about the customer at the end of the day.
Yep. And obviously that leads on to the next most important part of it, which is, who are you selling to? You could have the greatest product in the world, but it's only for a subset of people. Ultimately, there are very, very, very few products out there that everyone will buy. So you've got to know who your audience is. You've got to know who you're selling to, because as a small business owner, this is so, so important, because you can waste so much time. Just as just the Facebook example we used earlier, if I just do Facebook ads to everybody, well, Facebook's about 75% of the world, or the Western world, we'll say, because we had this whole discussion about China the other day. And ultimately, if you're just marketing to everybody, then you're just, you know, as a small business owner, you just don't have the budget. You don't have the power to reach those people. So you have to get this down to who your individual audiences are, because that obviously then leads to another really important part of the document, which is, where should you be marketing? You know, and you can't know where to market if you don't understand who your audience is. And I think that's a key thing to remember, because for the small business owner, one of the things we always say is, there is at any one point 30 to 40 different marketing channels that you could use, but you only have time to probably work at two or three of them. So you have to know who your audience is, and where is that audience. If your audience is a 16-year-old teenager sitting in their bedroom, do not waste your time doing Twitter, because they're not going to be on Twitter, or they're probably not going to be on Facebook. The reality is they're either going to be on TikTok or on Instagram or whatever, you know, they maybe listen to podcasts. Hopefully listen to podcasts. This is an amazing medium. But the whole point is, unless you understand who your audience is, you then cannot understand what channels you should be doing. And if you don't know what channels you're doing, that's the classic example of where people just waste time and also waste money.
Mm, absolutely. I mean, another thing that people, I think, get quite hung up on when they're looking at a marketing plan is the brand guidelines. And that part of it. Now, we would say you should include some element of your brand guidelines into this. It's something that that obviously we work on a lot of brand guidelines documents, and these things can be, you know, bigger than a lot of marketing plans. But in truth, when you're thinking about what is the most important part, again, I encourage you to think, what will this do for your business? What will it make you do differently? So yes, you should have what your logo looks like. You should think about your logo and how it is represented in a number of different formats, how, you know, the different colors, how you shouldn't shrink it, how you shouldn't squash it, and those kind of things. They're basic things, but they are things that that affect the way that people perceive your brand. You look a bit more amateurish if your logo is squashed into a space that it shouldn't belong in, and things like that. But it's not just about the logo, it's not just about the colors that you use, although those things do make your life easier when you go to do a piece of content, when you go to do a piece of social media, a social media post. If you know, these are my colors, this is what my logo looks like, here are all my files, they're all to hand, and I can make a piece of, you know, I can make a graphic that's going to look consistent and it's going to make everything look polished. That does make life easier. It does save time. But it's also about your tone of voice. It's also about the way you say things. It's almost more important, I would argue, that you understand your audience. You've got this part of it, but you really need to know how you should be talking to them and the types of things you should be saying and the things they're interested in. And that's that for me, when it comes to the brand guidelines, is probably the most important part of it, because again, that's the thing that you can actually action. It's the thing you can really do something different if you know that and you've got it well documented.
100% agree. And again, it's, I think people do look and hear the word brand and they kind of think, oh, I mean, it's probably the one part of the strategy more than anything else that people stop and think, oh, that's for the big brands. You know, that's for the big companies to deal with. But actually, as you say, there is a lot of practical elements to a brand. It isn't a logo. It isn't a name. It isn't, you know, the color palette. It's actually, yeah, it's the tone of voice. It's how you talk. And that's the thing that's so, so important when it comes to them writing your content. And that, you know, that is the next part of the marketing plan is a content strategy. And really, again, a content strategy, we've both written content strategies for businesses that, again, probably are bigger than a marketing strategy. They go on forever and a day. But the reality is a content strategy for a small business is really just a list of the things that they should be talking about. We call them subjects of influence. The things that you know well, the things you're confident talking about, that your business is good at, and that you're, most important of all, that your customer wants to hear about. And that's really, you know, it's that Venn diagram of what you're good at, what you like talking about, what your customer wants to hear about. Right in the middle of that is your sweet spot. Those are your subjects of influence. Those are the things that you should be talking about. So whenever you know, it's that thing, we go back to it again and again. You get up in the morning, you think, right, I know I've written myself out a comms plan. I must today write a quick post for Facebook. What am I going to write about? Well, what you're going to write about is one of those six things you've written down that you're subjects of influence. So you've immediately gone from, oh, I've got no ideas, to, okay, I've got to write one of these things. And we already know, because we define them, they are things that you can talk about, because that's what one of the criteria for choosing those. So you know about the subject, you're confident talking about it, then it makes it much easier for you. And again, it's another thing that gets you straight into the work much, much quicker, saves you time, and it means you know you're talking about a subject that matters to your customer. Because that's often when you struggle, when you panic, you write about something quickly and then you don't stop and think, is this actually what somebody wants to read?
Oh, happy Friday. Or, you know, look at this amusing picture of a cat gif. You know, this is what you end up with, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it's just seasonal stuff, things where you're looking at, oh, it's National, you know, Eat Five Donuts Day today, so let's post something about that. If you're not selling donuts or, you know, something tangentially relevant to donuts, then really, I don't know if that's the right sort of content you should be posting. You know, you have to think about, should, not only is my audience interested in this, but are they interested in hearing about it from me? That's, you know, those are the things you should be thinking about when you're thinking about what is the right sort of stuff to be posting.
Yep, I completely agree. And then, you know, the final thing, which I think people often find surprising in the marketing plan, but is actually the sales funnel. Because ultimately, marketing is there to drive sales. That's its job. You know, we can talk about the fact that it raises your profile, it improves engagement, all of those things are important, but all of those things are still doing the one same thing, which is driving sales from new customers. You've got to find new customers, you've got to get sales from them and keep them for the long term. So it's incredibly important that the marketing understands what that sales funnel is. You know, a classic sales funnel for any e-commerce site, for example, would just be someone arriving at the site, looking at a product category, looking at a specific product, adding to a basket and buying. Great, it's nice and simple. Most sites might well be like that, but yours might not be. And it's actually really important for you to understand what that process is, because then you start to understand, where am I dropping him into that funnel? Because if much drop them further down into the funnel, brilliant. You know, it's great that we can feed a load of leads into the top of the funnel, but actually, the further down the funnel they're going, the better it is. So marketing needs to think about that. So you, as a marketing thought process, you're not just going, I just want to get loads of people knowing about my company. Well, no, because if they know about your company and they come to the site and then suddenly go, oh yeah, it's not really for me, you've wasted that time. You want to attract people that you know can go further down that funnel, the people that are going to look at some of your content, the people that are going to look at the products. And actually, you need to be marketing to them, not the top end of the funnel. So I think that's why it's important to always include the sales funnel in any marketing document, which, you know, it's a thing. A lot of these things are things you probably have in various different places anyway, But by getting them into one place together, it's back to that thing, quick, easy access to the information you need.
Yeah, it's just drawing it all together, isn't it? I think you make a really good point about that funnel. I think that's something that people get really caught up with when it comes to things like social media. You're thinking you're looking for thousands and thousands of followers, thousands and thousands of likes, when in truth, there's no point going for that broad approach if those people are never going to get down to the bottom of the funnel. And the same goes for web traffic, the same goes for everything. There's no point going for a mass market approach where you're going to get loads and loads and loads of people in the top if those people are ultimately never going to end up wanting to spend any money with you, because you know, if they aren't, then they really didn't belong in the funnel in the first place.
As you said earlier, it's 100% a vanity exercise. There is no point going to find people who are not ultimately potential buyers. And that's where this all ties together. It's knowing who your customers are, knowing where to find them, and then knowing how to engage them so that you can get them through that sales funnel.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. So we've got our marketing plan now. We've got a vision, mission statement. We've got marketing objectives. We've got our strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats analysis. We know why us. We know who we're selling to. We've got a bit about the brand guidelines, but we know our tone of voice, we know what we're saying, we know what channels we're saying it in. We've nailed our SEO, we've got our content strategy. It's a big document, isn't it? We've got a sales funnel in there. That is a lot to get together, but as you say, it's there. You've got it all already, mostly, in lots and lots of different places. It's just a case of kind of dropping it in. And, you know, and this can be sentences. They can be very, very yes. quick pieces of information that you get together. It's not about writing 10 pages on each of these subjects. This can be very, very straightforward and simple. And like I said, download the document we've got, because it's worth just going through that and filling in. It gives you a really easy way of just jotting in some of the information that you need. And I think, as you said at the start, what don't you need? Don't worry about those tactics. Don't worry about trying to say, this is how you're going to make it happen. This is a campaign. You don't need to put your Christmas campaign in there. That's not what we're worrying about right now. You'll have to deal with that later. But for now, this is really supposed to be a strategic document. But I think the other thing that people get caught up on is thinking about their competitors a lot. You talked about competitor analysis before, but it's also like copycatting and people looking at what everyone else, you know, kind of looking around when you're on social media, looking around at what everyone else is doing and thinking, oh, maybe I should be doing that over there, maybe I should be doing something else over here. How do you think people stop that? How do you stay focused on what you should be doing and not worrying about what other people are doing?
It comes back to that point we said earlier, which is what makes you special. And the people that end up doing what I call copycatting—that's not an easy word to say—is the people that don't know what makes them special. And it's actually often the people that don't have a marketing strategy, because when you don't have a strategy and you know of a clear defined route of what you're supposed to be doing, you don't understand really, really well what is that makes you special and different. Then you do end up just going, oh, well, Fred Bloggs has done this, so I'm going to do what Fred Bloggs did, because he must know what he's doing. Because the thing with copycatting is you automatically assume that everything your competitor does is brilliant. Well, I can guarantee you most people don't spend their marketing budget efficiently. So if you just copy them, chances are you're just going to be copying their mistakes. So you need to understand what makes you special and then go from there.
Very good, very good. So, any sort of final thoughts on the marketing plan? If we haven't convinced you at this point that it's a good idea to have one, I don't know what we can do. But, you know, anything else that you think we haven't really covered there?
I think the only thing is to pull up on your point that you made towards the end there, which is around the fact that it does sound like a lot. I've written these for a couple of small businesses quite recently, and one of them was just 3 pages long. So in the template that we've got for you to download, we've intentionally given a page to each one of these subjects, just in case you need it. And it looks tidier and neater in the document. The reality is, as James said, some of these things are just one word. So, for example, the content strategy may be 4 bullet points, no more than that. It may, you know, it may say we're really smart and we know about this. So I talk about this. This one's really interesting, and this one people seem to find interesting and want to talk about, even though they may not buy it. There you go. Those are the 4 bullet points. That's all that we're going to do. So it's not a whole page. It's not reams and reams of paper. It could be anything from 3 pages to, I will tell you now, if it's more than 10 pages, I think you've gone over the top and you're not going to use it. That's the thing. The longer it is, actually, the less chance you have of using it, because it's not accessible and it just feels unwieldy and you won't go to it in the end. You'll just go, oh, no, I don't want to look at that document. I'll just make it up again from scratch. And there's nothing worse than having done a marketing strategy and going right back to the start. It's a stuffy document that's stuck in James's drawer, because that doesn't get us anywhere.
Indeed, indeed. And the last thing to finish on is, it's never finished. That's the most important thing.
Well said.
It's something that you should be changing all the time. If the last 6 months have told us anything, is that no matter how good your marketing plan is, no matter how clear your vision is for the future, you can't be sure what's coming around the corner. And if you've got a good marketing plan, that means you can pivot, means you can change, means you can make decisions quickly and efficiently. And the people that have really succeeded throughout this crazy, uncertain time is the people that really knew their audience. They knew what they were selling. They knew what made them special, and they were able to pivot and adjust and present them with something different or something similar in a different way. And it just changed their plan. It didn't change the goal. It didn't change where they were going. It just changed the route. And that is the true mark of a great marketing plan. It's a living, breathing document that you keep changing and updating.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us today. We've had a few weeks off, but we're going to get back into a bit of a more of a regular schedule now. So if you haven't already subscribed, then please do subscribe to the 33% podcast. We'd love that very much indeed. Leave us a little review if it's not too much trouble. And if you'd like any more information about any of this shenanigans, then by all means head over to 33%. That's all the letters and no numbers.co.uk. And we'll see you again next time.
Goodbye.